Mets, and I am Steve Miggs, and I'm here with the Reverend Enfuego.
Hi!
Glenn Cannon, everybody.
Hey there, among the living.
You survived. Glenn, for those that don't know, because you weren't in the studio, but last week on the Miggs cast, right at the very end when we were wrapping things up.
Oh, yeah! Yeah.
Glenn nearly died.
But I developed a fever during the show.
Yep.
And then my throat started swelling
shut.
And
we had no cowbell.
Yeah, and so we were towards the end of the show. That's why, if you listen to last week's show, I get very brief towards the end. What's going on, Glenn? Nothing.
I'm good.
Yeah. Nothing left.
And finally I got to a point where I was like, I can't swallow.
Ran out of the room.
Well, yeah, because it got to a point where I couldn't swallow, and it got to the point where like my anxiety was beginning to trigger. Like,
I can't swallow.
And I was like palming the desk, and finally I was like,
I'm going to die.
It's weird because
I just went to the sink and started chugging water, and I felt super bad, like if I could have hung out another 6 minutes. But
no, I mean, that's just the usual thing that happens when Caesar's in a room. That's why it didn't seem weird that you just got up and ran off.
Dude, there were so many people here. It was just like, well, I think maybe Glenn's just tired of all these people in this room. Peace out.
I was ready to walk out the minute Caesar came in. I love you, Caesar.
I felt really bad. I got to talk to all those guys afterwards. I'm like, I'm really sorry, man. I started running a fever. I can't swallow. And man, then I lost Tuesday and Wednesday. I thought you said you were coming back from round two. Fever for a couple days. My throat, like I said, my throat almost swelled. I was sitting here and I could no longer swallow my own saliva.
Damn.
So that's why I was like, and I finally was like, I need water. I can't take it. I gotta.
And it was a bummer because then you missed out on the Glorious Sun show that happened on Wednesday night.
I know.
Which
I'm still recovering from, not because I got sick, but because they fed shots into me after the show.
And yeah, how was that?
Well, it was great. The moment when I look at my wife and go, you're driving us home tonight.
I saw some good photos, yeah. Yeah, man, truly, like, I showed up that morning and Castle was, like, all set for Glorious Suns. I'm like, right on, man.
Yeah.
After the show, I go in, I have both my leathers on and my arms crossed because I'm shivering.
Yeah.
And I was like, so about the show? And he's like, dude. And I'm like,
not going to happen.
I was like, I'll hit you up tonight and let you know how I'm doing, because it was the next day.
And let me guess, you never did.
Oh, no. I texted him around 8 o'clock Tuesday night and went, Ryan, there's no way.
Oh, okay.
He was like, dude, I'm so sorry. And I was really looking forward to.
Well, they're coming back in July. They're opening up for the Struts, which is going to be a really cool show to go check out at the Showbox. So we'll have to make sure we make it happen.
Make sure I'm healthy.
Yeah. Start taking that vitamin C now so you'll be ready to go.
Yeah,
get the vitamin B injection.
Get that emergency.
It was a blast, though, because it was at the Tractor Tavern, which was sold out. So I think the capacity there is like right under 400.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like my wife and I were talking about. This band is playing big venues like Paramount or bigger in Canada. That's how popular they are.
That's how it works.
And then they come to the States, and it's cool for us because then we get to see them in a venue that holds 400 people, like the Tractor Tavern.
I bet it was ripping, though.
Bro, there's so many Canadians there. And you could, because I kept hearing you walk by someone and go, oh, sorry. And everyone's really nice, but has no concept of personal space. I don't mean this to be very nationalistic, but I don't know what's going on in Canada. But when they get drunk, they lean on you.
Really?
When we went to see them at the Commodore and then at the Tractor, there was an old guy almost puked on my wife. He's leaning on her. He's probably 70 years old and he's rocking out, but the alcohol hit him a little too hard. And my wife's like, I'm annoyed, but he's so pleasantly polite. Even though he's annoyingly drunk.
Can you reach in the pocket and get my glycerin packets?
He's like,
put that under my tongue, honey.
Sorry. Didn't mean to touch your Timbits. Sorry. But man, it was cool because right before they went up on stage, the people that work for the Glorious Suns are like, do you want to do the stage intro? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And my wife was proud. I only dropped the F-bomb twice, which is rare. Like, the first thing she said when I got off the stage was, wow, you didn't curse as much as you usually do. And here's the great part. So there's a Glorious Suns fan page out there on Facebook, and somebody Facebook lived my stage introduction.
Nice.
And then someone found out that they're like, hey, dude, your video is up, because I was like, man, that was a really fun stage intro. I felt good about it. I had people from Canada coming up to me before the band took the stage to take pictures with me because of the stage introduction. They were so, like, appreciative that I love their band.
Oh, that's cool.
Which was cool.
Nice. Yeah, that's really cool.
So then eventually a few of them found me on Facebook, started friend requesting me. So now I'm like the 1 degree of separation between them and the Glorious Suns, which is kind of funny. But they're super nice people. And in fact, it's Jeremy. He posted it. So I want to give a shout out to him and Davey as well. A couple of nice guys that I met at the Glorious Suns show.
That's killer, man.
I have the audio of my stage intro so you guys could hear me not curse.
Rev, are you all set too?
Yeah, I'm ready.
This is going to be my fifth time seeing the Glorious Suns. As we were driving and my wife even said to me, she's like, they are easily my favorite band. And I looked at her, I'm like, you're absolutely right.
No, I made that up. My wife hates the band. And no, I'm kidding. That was a true story. Because I was like, what the hell am I going to say? Like, oh boy. And I like, when I do a stage intro, I've done it with Windowpane. I like to come from the heart and get people excited about seeing this band as opposed to just trying to like be Mr. Funny Pants or just rambling about nothing or just trying to like stroke my own ego, although I do in a little bit. But you know, I want to get people pumped up for that band because and for me, it's like my favorite band. And I'm going to introduce them. I want to make a moment. So here we go.
This is a dorky request, but I hope you guys can go with me on this one. If somebody in the back can pull out their phone, take a picture, let's get all our hands up. It's not often that I get to be on stage right before my favorite band comes up and rocks our faces off. So let's get our noise, let's get our drinks up, let's make some noise, everybody.
Nice.
So hopefully the universe will figure it out and get me that picture. I know Facebook shut down, which is great. Instagram's not working, which is awesome.
See, topical stuff right there.
Well, that's right. That was the great day. Facebook crash of
the social media meltdown. Yeah. But someone tweeted at me instantly. I was like, yeah, I got the picture. Nice. I forgot to ask someone to take the picture. So I'm up on stage brainstorming this crap.
All right. But tonight we're just going to enjoy some music, right? Yeah! I mean this from the bottom of my heart. If someone asked me, what is it about music that you love? I would just hand them the Glorious Sun Records. Yeah! Oh, because this band is everything that is right with music. So let's celebrate the music of the Glorious Sun. They'll be out in a couple of minutes. Thank you guys for coming out and selling out the Tractor Tavern.
It's a good crowd, too, man.
Dude, that crowd was looking to have a good time.
Nice.
And lean on you.
Yeah.
So it was awesome, dude. And even their manager came up afterwards appreciative, and he's like, it was one of the coolest things. Like, I felt like a groupie, you know, like when those moments when someone that's a part of the band comes over and like hands you the backstage pass and goes, don't go anywhere after the show, but I'm not hot.
They were grouping out on you though, man.
So the manager comes over and goes, don't leave when the show's over. And then goes over to the security guy, because we were right by where the security guy was. He goes, those two right there, my wife and I, he's like,
those two are cool.
Yeah, don't kick them out when this is over. And the security guy was awesome. Like, we were bonding over pistachio nuts, which is very odd, but he was eating pistachio nuts and I knocked over his cup. And I'm like, oh, dude, I'm sorry. And he's like, oh, no, it's just the empty shells. I'm like, oh, good, because I know how expensive pistachio nuts are.
Right?
And he just started laughing. He's like, yeah, they are. I was like, I would have been pissed at myself if I would have knocked over pistachio nuts.
I love this green rock and roll moment, you know? Right? He didn't spill his Budweiser. He didn't spill his glass of whiskey. Didn't knock his syringe out of his hand.
No, he knocked his
security guard.
Yeah, it's like super green, healthy, like, oh, dude, I didn't mean to knock over your wedge salad at this rock show.
So, dude, the show ends, and so then we go back there. And instantly the manager is holding like a tray of shots for the band.
Oh,
and they're all like, and the singer and the guitarist are like, Steve, they're so happy to see me. Like, shot? I'm like, yes. It's Wednesday night. It's 11 p.m. This is exactly what I should do when I have to work tomorrow in a few hours.
just come straight to the station and sleep.
Very few hours
then
at that point.
Another person of the group comes over with more shots and it's tequila. And they're like, shots?
Oof.
I'm like, I can't say no. This is an opportunity, and my wife's not drinking. So I looked at her, and I had the next shot. I'm like, so you're getting us home, right? And she's like, that's
you're driving.
She's like, that's totally fine. Like, because she was loving it. That's her favorite band, and we're both just being treated like peers. It wasn't anything awkward. Those guys just want to have anyone hang around with them. Then at some point, the singer Brett comes running through, screaming at the top of his lungs because he's been drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at his face, and the picture's up on my Instagram and elsewhere. You could see it if you like zoom in. He's got these black lines from a Sharpie. He painted whiskers on his face because, you know, that's just what you do.
Oh.
And he's hugging me and he's like, are you going to hang out with us? I'm like, no, I got to go home some point. Like, next time we come, are you going to hang out with us? I'm like, I promise. He's like, cool. And I was just like, this is such a cool experience. Like, they were the nicest guys.
That's awesome.
The bassist all of a sudden puts on goggles while we're backstage. And I'm like, what the hell is he doing? He's got a little mini drone. And now he's flying the drone around in the Tractor Tavern chasing people as they're leaving. He's got the video camera, and he's in the back just having a blast with it, dude. These guys are just, like, the most chill people. Of course, I got nerdy with the drummer. I'm like, dude, your set's sick. It's like it's a custom kit from Canada. And it was, like, really nice and cool. And what size kick? He's, like, 24. I'm like, that's right, 24 for life. But The opening act was this woman by the name of JJ Wild, and she had a backing band, and I grabbed one of her songs. I just want to give her a shout out. Dude, you would have loved her.
Cool stuff.
Just bluesy.
Oh, that's right up my alley.
She's made, and we meet her, and I'm like, you know, you watch someone on stage and you like their music is not like serious, like ha-ha serious, but like you can tell it's from the heart. There's nothing joking about what she's doing. Like there's passion to it. So you just assume once you meet this person, you get a little nervous, like, oh, they're gonna be too artsy,
presumptuous, and all that stuff. Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, your set was great. I love the Kings of Leon cover. It's like, oh my god, I love that band. I'm like, well, I hope so. You played them. And then she's like, I have this lime, and I don't know why. And she's holding a lime, and she's drunk. And I'm just like, what in the
like a full lime or just like a slice?
Full lime, just a full lime.
I would understand a slice.
Gotta get her the pistachio and that guy together, man.
I don't understand the goddamn bowling team. I don't understand it either, Rev. And then later on, she's like, I got a drink, and I needed a lime, and Jay just bit a chunk out of that lime I threw at him and put it in my drink. It's awesome. I'm like, you guys, Canadian rock bands, I can't wait to go to
party.
I can't wait to go to Canada.
Yeah.
It seems like it's just going to be fun.
It's going to be okay. Yeah.
So here's a little sample, though. So now you've got that image of what she's like behind the scenes. And this is her music. This is a song called Wired, which is available now.
Fast cars, good life, what you waiting for?
Sweet.
I think the record's going to be pretty killer.
What's her name again?
JJ Wild, Wilde. One song's only available. They sent me, though, the EP, like a little advance, so I could hear it.
Ooh.
I know. I don't know. Would I get in trouble if I play a sample of one of the other songs? What do you think?
Do I
risk it?
Talk over it or
yeah.
not?
Yeah.
You're good with the band. And
I mean,
so maybe,
yeah, I won't do it. I probably shouldn't do that. You know, that would just be, oh, I accidentally hit play. Oh.
You're listening to The Mixcast with Steve May.
The Mixcast. This song stopped me in my tracks. Just the energy of it. It's called State of Mind.
Look at all the things that I have done. If you look at only what you see, I'm a puzzle piece and it all falls down on me.
You're listening to The Mixcast, Steve Mix.
Mix, mix, mix.
I'll find a better state of mind.
This is really cool.
Yeah.
This
is.
This song's amazing. Especially once the chorus kicks in.
Just so people get it.
Thanks.
We're only babbling to make sure no one can rip this and get Steve in trouble.
Yeah, right?
Sorry, Rev.
But it's what I need in the end.
Cool stuff, JJ Wild. Yeah. Be on the lookout for her. I think the future is very bright for her. Very young talent. And apparently, the Gloria Sons just fell in love with her music.
I can see why.
And said, you need to come on tour with us. We'll put you in contact with our management.
Nice.
Got her signed.
Wow.
Like, the whole backstory is pretty cool. It's always like we talked about with the Steel Panther guys, that they liked our music so much that they invited us to go on and play 3 nights in Vancouver with them. I always love hearing those stories because I always look back at, you know, when Peter Parker was a band and the guys in Harvey Danger really took a liking to us, especially the bassist, who's unfortunately no longer with us, Aaron Huffman.
Oh, wow.
And he paid for the recording of our first record and also paid to have it pressed.
Wow. That's killer.
He made up his own record label and used his major label advance money to basically fund our band so that we'd have an opportunity to get our music out because we couldn't afford it. I was struggling. We were all struggling.
Yeah.
And he was in a very beneficial position right now at that time because the band was just blowing up. And and put his money where his mouth was. He believed in music and believed in us and gave us an opportunity. So when I see these stories, it always makes me think of Aaron. And I was thinking about him last night because for some reason I was just listening to Harvey Danger. And I was like, gosh, I miss that dude. Like, that's... So it's kind of cool when you hear those stories of bands falling in love with other bands and doing whatever they can to help those bands.
Yeah, I'll be excited to get that EP once it goes out. Like, I hope it goes right on Apple Music and you can snag it right away.
Well, the song Wired, the first song we played, is on Apple Music right now.
Okay, cool. I'm going to grab it then.
And I hope that she's... I mean, granted, she was drunk and had some limes in her hands, but I was like, hey...
As one does.
Right.
As one does.
I was like, hey, you need to come back to Seattle. And she's like, I can't wait. I love this place. This has been such a great experience for me. And it was our first time in Seattle, so... If she comes in, it's like around the time of a mix cast, it'd be kind of cool to get her in studio and hang out and do some songs.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So that was my exciting week, or one night, as a big Glorious Sons fan, to be able to then party with them after the show. And, you know, they always say don't meet the people that you're fans of, and that couldn't be further from the truth with those guys. And it was fun for my wife, too, because she's like, I've never been this obsessed with a band. Like, she, as well as I, we'd never stop listening to them, whether it be at the gym, driving around, in the house taking a shower. That's their music is on every day at least a couple times.
Wow.
Like a couple songs are being played daily in our household. So that's how much we love them. So for her to have this band almost on the same level as like a Justin Timberlake,
because
that's her guy.
Oh, okay.
So to be able to hang out back there, and they weren't like jerks to us. They didn't even make us feel like we were outsiders. When we took the picture, Jay, the guitarist, was so wasted he was leaning on her. So while we're taking the picture, I hear my wife go, "You're squishing me." He's leaning on her for dear life. And the picture's great because as the picture's taken, he's blowing smoke out of a cigar. And it's just like this cloud of smoke over
his
face.
Cool.
And he's got a shot of tequila in his hand and he's leaning on my wife. It was hilarious.
Rock star life right there.
So I know before we do anything, Glenn, I just saw this on your Facebook page. You got a show coming up on Friday.
Yeah. I'm going to go play the Parliament over in West Seattle, which is a cool little club. I'm just going to do an acoustic set, but I'm going to have Lance McKay, who's the keyboard player in my project, join me, and we're going to play a bunch of the stuff on the record, kind of for the first time ever live.
Nice.
So that'll be cool.
What time are you going on?
I'm on at 9. I'm opening the whole thing up. Then after us is Double Cross Committee. That's a cool band. Yeah, Jay from Late September Dogs, man. Yep. They're ripping. And then Garrett Whitney and the Outlaw Gruntree Band. I always got to make sure I say that, Gruntree.
What's a Gruntree?
I don't know, and I should ask him. But they're killer. Just kind of acoustic, country-ish, rock and roll. It's really cool stuff. And they had hit me up months back and said, hey, would you come to an unplugged set and open this up? I'm like, oh, man, I'd love to. I've been to the Parliament in a minute. So, yeah, that's Friday night, man. It's actually the first time I've been on stage since the Brody CD release, now that I think of it.
Wow.
So, Lance and I are going to get together, and we're going to try some neat stuff at the show that I've never heard anyone do. We're going to
play a guitar with a lime.
Yeah, which makes a unique rhythmic and thumping sound, and is great to chase a shot with. But we're going to try some two cover. The rest of it's going to be all original, but there's going to be two covers. In particular from Radiohead that we're going to... I was like, you down to try this? And he's like, dude, I would love to try that.
Can you can you tell us what Radiohead
is? We're going to open the set with everything in its right place.
Nice.
So it's going to be him on basically, you know, keys, and then I'm going to be just thumping my guitar rhythmically and singing it, and hopefully that'll work. Never seen anyone cover anything like that, and Lance is such a talent, and he and I share so much in common as far as influences go, that I'm like, what do you think of doing this? And he's like, oh, dude, I'm in. I'm like, oh, God, I love you. You know, zero resistance.
Yeah, right?
Like,
okay. Zero arm twist.
Yeah, man,
it's not
exactly
like you're trying to tell your band that you want to cover a Madonna song.
Like, trust me, this is going to be cool. I don't know. I don't think so. You know, yeah. So, he and I are going to get together, you know, Wednesday night and just run through everything because he hasn't played any of the stuff even on the record since we were tracking a couple weeks back, so...
Where you at with the record right now?
How's the progress?
Finally finished. I finished
as
vocals
a backer.
This
I'd
weekend.
Like to have a State of the Union address.
Yeah, right.
That's what's going on.
You're
right?
In a room full of backers.
Yeah, I love
Update,
you guys
please.
For that. Love you guys for that. I finished finished vocals this past weekend, man. I'd gone out the weekend before, but I'd had that heinous voodoo, and so I knocked a couple real howlers out Friday night because a lot of the stuff's really just bitching high energy rock and roll, but. In a different, it's not that super heavy, more modern thing that Windowpane does. It's definitely more of a, you know, Black Keys meets Jerry Cantrell
on meth or something. Nice. I don't know.
I've been craving for that style.
Yeah, you know, right? As yeah. one does, you know. But Big Rock and Bad Teeth. So, but yeah, so I really, really tore it up the Friday night and then went back out the Saturday. And there's one song where I'm pushing my high range almost into operatic. And that particular song is a really cool piece of music. It's nice. Unlike anything anyone's ever heard me do before. At that point, my high register was just gone. Yeah. I'd just gotten over being sick. So then Brett and I went through and did all the stuff that was kind of softer, low key. And I was like, yeah, I'll see you next week, man.
Yeah, I need to rest.
Yep, came back out. So Saturday, went out and finished it Saturday. And then went back Sunday and just listened down to anything and any weird little idea we had, we just threw it in the box.
That's pretty cool.
You know, Brett would be like, yeah, put like a super high soft falsetto behind that chorus. Like, okay.
All right.
And just throw it in there and it'll get used or not get used. But
yeah, you can worry about that in the mixing, but you have it there to work with. That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, all the ingredients are there and he's really, really excited. The more I've heard of it back, the more I think I said on a previous cast, like I thought I knew what I was setting out to create.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
That's so cool.
And it really became something completely different. And the way we approached it, too, I wanted to make sure, especially after the excitement of the Brody mm-hmm. project, I wanted to make sure that it was borderline under-rehearsed. Everyone, do your job, write your part, learn the music. And we got together maybe six times
yep.
total.
Keep
twice,
that raw, fresh feel to it.
And have that, you know, what it gave us is in the studio with this amazing sense of discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were hearing this stuff back to ourselves for the first time and creating as we went. And so all that excitement and energy and electricity, because it hasn't been overthought and, mm-hmm. and picked apart and diagnosed, I think was captured in the recording. So as I'm hearing this stuff back, I've just been blown away. And
is that why you're calling the record My First Erection?
Yeah. my first and final. I've burst a blood vessel and this no longer works. You know?
First to burst.
First to burst. That's right. I'll get my little pumpies installed.
Little pumpies.
Yeah. Oh, baby.
He's
I love
a good
you.
Rapper,
little pumpies. Yeah, I'm little pumpies. Yeah, baby. You want to do this? Hang on a second.
What are you doing?
It's just like my shoes, baby.
Yeah, it's just like my Reebok. Dude, I can't wait to hear it, man. I heard,
stoked.
Like, obviously, the Facebook videos that you put up while you guys were tracking, and that's no example of what a mix would be, but it gave me an idea of what the songs were, and I was grinning from ear to ear, because it sounds dope.
It was cool. That song, Saint and a Criminal, made it up, because Tommy played a bunch on that. But
it was stuck in my head for a while, and that's always a good sign.
That song literally was, it's just two parts, and very simple chords, and a real simple lyric, but I thought it was super hooky. And I took it into the band, and God bless Jeff and Louie, they got it right away, and they threw this great kind of R&B hip-hop groove to it. Jeff wrote this amazing R&B-flavored bass line. I'm like, oh, God, I love you. You get it. And there was so little going on guitar. I'm like, Lance, you're going to be the one to carry this song. And he's like, well, what are you thinking? I'm like, I want you, just create, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And so he messed around with some stuff, and I said, why don't you try like a big string pad, think, you know, In Through the Outdoor, Led Zeppelin kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. He's like, okay, and he called up this gorgeous lush string patch and threw this string bed behind it, and the song just came to life. And then we had Tommy Sandoval Vallejos, sorry Tommy, I love you,
on the bongos.
He came in and, you know, and he, some of his congas so came from Carlos Santana's guys. Oh. And there's like a whole story behind, and he's just a ninja. He came in and laid all this gorgeous percussion across.
He brought
this
a donkey
thing.
Jaw with him.
It's legit.
I didn't even know that was an instrument until I saw it on.
No, it's a jaw for a.
It's a jawbone.
It's a skull of a donkey.
Like, I was helping him load in. He's like, dude, I brought everything. I literally brought everything under the sun. You can think of. I even brought a donkey jaw. And I kind of laughed. And then he handed me the donkey jaw. I thought he was kidding.
And that's when Glenn realized not to F with Tommy.
Yeah, right?
It's a donkey's lower jawbone. But when you hold it out by, like, the tip of the jawbone and whack it.
Give it a donkey
the
punch.
The teeth rattle. Like, so you give it the donkey punch. The teeth rattle. And this thing goes.
Oh, weird.
It's amazing. I've got pictures of, you know, the it's one like and only weird... Ryan Castle holding the donkey jaw.
It sounds like a group of people clapping or stomping.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's got like a weird vibe. I never even knew that was a percussive instrument.
Dude, yeah. Tommy. So Tommy's an
isn't.
Animal. But
it sounds
turned
him loose on that
killer,
song,
clearly.
Saint and Criminal. And it just, that song in particular was one I wasn't even sure would make the record, because I thought... I knew that the vocals were strong. I knew the chord progression was strong. It didn't need a bunch of nonsense thrown at it. It's very simple. The whole song's less than 3 minutes long. It's what mm-hmm. it wanted, but I didn't know it's either going to take shape or not.
Right.
And man, after Lance threw his parts at it, it's probably one of the standout songs on the
funny?
Record. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's stuff like, and it's stuff that people have never, ever, ever heard me for, do before, because honestly, I was constrained by the confines of what windowpane was, aerial quotes, supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like windowpane, it'd be like Metallica doing something like that. It's like, well, that's not very Metallica.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons I was so anxious to get into this project, because if I could do what I wanted without being constrained by the a thing.
Yep.
Like, this is the Bruiser Brody thing. This is the windowpane thing.
The Glenn thing is whatever's going on in your mind.
Yeah, it's funny. That Travis and I have talked a lot about, he's like, man, the whole thing about going under my own name, and it feels so pretentious to me. And I'm like, well, there's two things there, man. Like, when you think of Tom Petty or David Bowie or Neil Young or John Mellencamp or whoever, Bjork.
Or J.J. Wilde.
Bjork? Yeah, J.J. Wilde. Like, is that, do you think pretentious? Because I don't. And I went on to say, like, dude, the thing is.
No, I think Wyatt only, I think pretentious.
Yeah.
I love you, Wyatt.
Actually, primarily the wreckage.
Yes.
But for me, it was.
I haven't made fun of Wyatt in a while. It's not like a good opportunity.
I know. Where's our dicks? Oh, wait, he doesn't owe us any right now, right?
Yeah, he does. Since and my hard drive.
Windowpane became.
He knows what I'm talking about.
Defined, it was then decided internally what windowpane was going to be, and then I found that a lot of what I wanted to do
didn't fall under that umbrella.
But if I just go under my own name, I can do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just me doing me, being me. And that's what I was telling Travis. I'm like, bro, don't worry about being pretentious. There's nothing pretentious about it. By just being you, you're just being you, and who can tell you what you are?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're in a band that has a direction or has a sound, you know, I've found and grew to feel trapped by that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all of that is relevant, because when you hear this record, I don't think it's all over the map. It seems cohesive, but there's stuff no one has ever heard me do anything like before, because I was simply free to do it.
So cool.
And I'm really excited about it, man.
I couldn't tell that you're cool. Excited
yeah,
about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. It could be the coffee, too. I don't know.
Hey, can I give a shout-out, speaking of Bruiser Brody? First mm-hmm. of all, shout-out to everybody who's... I know most people are going to see Steel Panther, but there's a few people that are going to see us in Vancouver, which is
thank
really,
you.
Really cool. And I know Chris is here, and thank you. He's got tickets to all three shows.
Oh, that's rad. I didn't know that, man. Yeah.
Our buddy Rich nice. As well. You know, you're out there. He's got tickets to some of the shows as well. My buddy Tony Baroni, wrestler. He's coming to the one on Thursday because he's wrestling on Friday and Saturday.
Nice.
So that's gonna be Thursday's gonna be a rough night for Steve-O, because I've been wanting to party with Tony Baroni for a while, but typically just because of his name.
That tells me Friday morning's gonna be the rough
patch. That's right. Uncle Daddy Tony Baroni is gonna be partying with us. And Uncle Daddy is an awesome dude who's hilarious and a great wrestler. He's one of my favorites in town, but I've never had a chance to hang because typically I'm going home
right.
or he's going back to Canada. So he's like, I'm gonna be there for the Thursday show. I already got tickets, and my wife was like, don't you know this opening band that just got announced? And then he reached out to me like, dude, are you opening for Steel Panther? I'm like, yeah. He's like, we got tickets. We're coming on Thursday. I'm like,
nice.
Well, I'm going to be hungover for the rest of the time there because I'm partying with you. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So be on the lookout for Uncle.
That's
Uncle
awesome.
Daddy's going to make it greasy backstage with us.
Uncle Dad.
But apparently Friday and Saturday shows are sold out.
Damn, congratulations.
And Thursday tickets are going pretty quick. So make sure you get your tickets if you're planning on making the road trip. April 11th, 12th, 13th at the Commodore Ballroom in British Columbia, Vancouver. And it's us and Steel Panther, and that's going to be awesome. And man, Styx, the drummer, he keeps messaging us how excited he is.
Oh, that's so cool to hear, man.
Yeah, I just checked Bruiser Brody's Instagram for the first time in weeks, and there's a post from him from 4 weeks ago going, can't wait to party with you dudes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so much fun. But I wanted to give a shout out to our boy, Iron Mike Savoy, who is the concert photographer for the Stars.
Absolutely.
Incredible photographer. He put up an Instagram post. Again, it came out a while ago, but I just saw it five days ago.
That's not bad.
And he listed his favorite records of 2018, his top 16 of 2018. And at number four, Bruiser Brody, Everyone's Dead.
Dude. Thanks, Mike.
It's a really good album.
Seattle Supergroup with members from Second Coming, Duff McKagan's Loaded, Clover Jane, Windowpane. We are super, super.
Super.
Best Seattle hard rock album in years. Travis on vocals, Enough Said.
Oh, that's killer.
That says a lot from a guy who
is awesome, man.
Always going to concerts
and
always listening
to
records. So that meant a lot to hear that. And you can see us. That's going to be a blast. And then we got some stuff coming. And I think we're going to be going to the Tractor Tavern.
In June.
Yep. Nice.
So once we get all that figured out, we'll let you know the date. But just save every Friday or Saturday in June.
We'll be at one of those. Make no plans.
Yes. Keep that entire month free.
That's right.
Speaking of Bruiser Brody,
yes, sir?
I was at Comic-Con this weekend.
Uh-huh.
And I Forgot the guy's name, but I'm pretty sure he listens, so I want to give him a shout-out right here.
Mr. Nameless?
Yeah, sorry. But I was sitting at the booth because I was doing the signing for the comic book that I was in.
Which is so awesome.
Which is just so...
Have you seen that?
I've seen the screenshot of his face.
It's so awesome.
And it's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, in this comic book, some guys out there, it's called The Book of Luca, and Mountaineer Press, the guy, Brian, sent me a message, and he was like, hey, would it be cool if we used your likeness in this comic book and kill you? And I was like, yes, absolutely. So I'm sitting there doing the signing because they were nice enough to invite me to do that for
an
hour.
That's beyond cool,
right?
Man.
And so I'm sitting there, and then suddenly a guy walks by wearing a Bruiser Brody t-shirt. And I'm like, nice. Hey, nice t-shirt. And he's like, oh, hi, Rev. And so we just BS for a little bit and stuff like that. And it was. I told him that he needed to go to the Headlocked booth because Christian was there,
yes.
The wrestler. And I was like, you need to show off the shirt. And he's like, oh, I don't know. It's like, no, man, they'll appreciate it. Just mention, you know, they're a band and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he did or not, but it was just like, you need to go do that.
Well, speaking of Christian, Edge, you remember, they were a tag team, Adam Copeland.
Yeah, yeah.
He told me he really dug some of the songs he heard of Bruiser Brody, which is pretty cool. And he said it reminds him, your singer reminds me of John Bush from Anthrax.
Wow.
When John Bush was the front man for Anthrax for a minute with like Only and Sound of White Noise. And I never really thought about that, but I went back, of course, because I had the same look that you had.
Does it clicks?
Yeah, I'll pull up. There definitely is a similarity. I always love hearing what people think you sound like. When, you know, I remember when Peter Parker was a band, people were like, you guys remind me of Everclear. I'm like, how?
Everclear?
Well, I think maybe
you need to drink Everclear to enjoy it.
If you follow on that, because people were like, man, you really remind me of Candlebox. Like, thanks, man. And then later on, who are some of your favorite bands? Candlebox.
And you're like, yeah.
So then what it is it's this association, like, I love that band as much as I love. And so that's why it's like this mental association. Because I've heard some, like, I've even had people say, like, oh, with Windowpane, like, oh, you guys really remind me of Queensryche. I'm like, hmm. And then I'm like, who are some of your favorite bands? I love Queensryche. I'm like, oh, okay, I get this.
Right. You remind me of them because I love that band.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mentioned it to Travis. I was like, oh, dude, Edge from the WWF days and WWE days, he heard our stuff and loved your voice and said he reminds him of John Bush. And Travis just lit up. He's like,
nice.
I freaking love those records.
So oh, that's cool.
Here's just a little bit of a sample just so, I mean, get an idea of if you know it. I'll go ahead a little bit. This is my favorite Anthrax, one of my favorite Anthrax songs. This is when they got rid of Joey Belladonna and came back with John Bush from Armored Saint, I think, or I think that was the band that he was fronting.
What era is this?
Oh, like mid-90s, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
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 When you say it, I would have never thought it. And I've been a fan of Anthrax and John Bush forever. But when you hear it, you're like, oh, my gosh, yes. Wow, now listening to it, it really sounds like Travis.
This is like 93, 94-ish.
Yeah. There are moments where just how he trails off on his words, it's very Travis-like.
Man.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You were right. Armored Saint.
Armored Saint.
Good call, man.
Steve knows things. There's data in there.
I know stuff about Anthrax. I was a little obsessive Anthrax fan, so when he mentioned that.
Know.
I know, right? Just a tad. They're so awesome. I freaking love Anthrax. The drummer follows me on Twitter. It's pretty cool. No big deal.
Yeah, it's cool. The little subtle no big deal at the end of that sentence was gold.
Right?
It was so gold.
Because it totally was a big deal.
Well, yeah.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal, guys.
It took a second for my brain to process how funny that really was.
Dude, I have to give credit to the Spit and Chicklets podcast, the hockey podcast.
Rad.
Whenever they have those humble brag moments, one of the guys, like Paul Biznasty, be like, you know, I was like banging this porn actress, not a big deal. And then just like, or that time that I won a championship, a Memorial Cup, not a big deal. Like that's kind of become like their catchphrase.
That's genius.
Anytime anyone has a humble brag, they have to go, not a big deal.
Not a big deal.
Not a big deal. big deal at all.
Love it.
I jokingly did a little shot at Motley Crue, and I think we should talk about
this. Yeah, I know. I was wondering how subtle that was going to be.
I want to get Glenn's opinion.
Oh, my God. Get ready to rip it apart.
Fill me in. What's up? What's up?
So Motley Crue are putting out their Netflix movie.
I'm very interested to see it. As a non-Crue fan.
A little birdie got to see it and told me it's way better than they expected. Because it comes out this Friday.
Is this the same little birdie that went and spent time with Mr. Six and everything?
No, a different little birdie.
Different bird.
Yes, but that's freaking amazing. Ryan Castle got to go to Nikki Six's house.
Oh, I was just going to keep calling him the bird.
The bird. Ryan, the bird. No, somebody I know that opinion, because I'm really skeptical about this because I love the book The Dirt, which I don't know if you've read.
I've not read The Dirt.
I'll have to find it. Even though you're not a Motley Crue fan, you're a music guy.
As I've gotten older, I get it. Like, I didn't get it in the day.
Fast for Love?
Yeah, my sister and I had that on cassette. No, we had Shout at the Devil.
Shout at the Devil, yeah.
And I was really into it until, I don't want to sound like a jerk, then I kind of grew out of it. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
But years later,
grew out of it. I'm still a child.
I find myself jamming with the new originals, and I have to learn some of these Crue songs on guitar. And I'm learning and I'm like, man, this is kind of genius. It's basically amped up blues music. And what I really dug about it was it was extraordinarily unelaborate.
Yep.
It's kind of the same thing over and over again, but old Vince would sing a different part or do this or do that, and it works beautifully as this powerful chorus, and even though the arrangements are simple, you feel like there's a lot going on.
Yep.
And that might sound like I'm saying something bad, but honestly, there's a genius to it. I'm still not a big Crue fan, but I went, whoa, look at how they made that work.
Yep.
Oh, man. Oh, wow, that's really cool.
See, I've always...
Originals gave me an appreciation for Motley Crue, cool, man. That's funny. Yeah,
well, I've always felt like...
In a legitimate way.
Vince and Tommy are the busy ones. Maybe outside of the band as well, if you know what I'm saying. They both have sex tapes. Vince and Tommy are like the ones that are doing a bunch of crazy, busy stuff.
Nice catch.
Tommy on the drums and Vince on the vocals. Whereas bass and guitar are really, like you
pretty
said...
Pretty straightforward.
Pretty... repetitive and basic, but you don't need them to.
Some of those songs are amped up 12-bar blues shuffles, and I was like, really? As I'm learning them, I was blown away by that.
But you got a monster on the drums doing some crazy stuff.
No one caught it either, but as I'm learning this stuff, way back in that era, they were tuned a whole step low.
Yes.
I thought half that stuff was out of E, and then I'm listening to it, and I'm like, man, that chord voicing's not right. And then I figured it out, it's out of A, but they're tuned a whole step low.
Awesome.
And we're talking like in the mid-80s, who was tuning a whole step low? That really didn't kind of go on back then.
Yeah, I don't
think so. And so like even stuff like that, I was like, dude.
And Mick Mars is such an underrated guitarist.
He's very creative.
His solos were really cool.
Yeah. I mean, really, man. I'm not a Crue fan, but I have a deep appreciation for the band. Does that make sense?
100%.
Yeah.
Dr. Feelgood's got like the coolest guitar solo that just keeps going and cool stuff. And it's never anything like, let me show off how crazy fast I can play it. Although at times he does that. But more so, it's just like he just holds those notes.
Yes. Tells a cool story. In an era of excessive noodling, he tells a cool story.
And the band is four of the worst human beings known to man. And that's what the book is really about. Like, it's truly four rock stars doing rock star stuff that even rock stars wouldn't do. And they're telling you their stories, and you're just like, how is this? A, how are they all alive? And granted, Nikki almost died or did for 15 seconds or whatever it was from a heroin overdose, only to come through and go do more heroin that day after he said, I would never touch heroin again. Like, they're that band. Like, they're just everything in excess to where, like, Doc McGee, even in the trailer for The Dirt, is like, I've managed Kiss. I've managed this band, that band, all these bands. And none of them are Motley Crue. None of them. None of them do what Motley Crue has done. So the movie, I'm very excited to see how true they stay to it. And from my buddy who caught a glimpse of it, says, they don't really pull back. Like, they do some pretty raunchy stuff in the film, which I'm excited to see.
Well, my understanding was that this thing was written and pitched to multiple studios, and all of the studios said, we'd love to do it. You got to tame it down.
Yeah.
And they were like, no.
No, this is our story.
And so finally, I mean, and I guess this went on for a long time,
years,
longer than people realize. Mm-hmm. Finally, Netflix went, do what you want.
Yep.
And they were like, nice. So my understanding is that to the degree possible in a movie package, you'd need like a 7-hour film. But the stuff that they... You know, this is how wild and off the chain it was.
That's
it's there.
I'm excited to see how they condense 30 years of debauchery into an hour and however many, a 90-minute or a two-hour
movie. A four-minute section of the film.
Yeah. It'd be a lot of jumping around, I would imagine. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm a Motley Crue fan.
I'm looking forward to watching it as well.
This Friday on Netflix. And so they're getting people ready, but I think they're going to have four new songs on the soundtrack, and one of them is a Madonna cover.
Okay.
And I've heard it. Mm-hmm. It's not as bad as I would expect, but I don't get why.
Was it a bad idea?
Well, even like Nikki Sixx was interviewing, he goes, "Yeah, I went to Tommy's house to pitch the idea, and I had it on. I did a demo of it, and he's like, let me tell you what it is, but I'm going to tell you from a different room so you can't punch me." And I guess Tommy at first was like, "What the hell?" And then listened to it, started laughing, and goes, "Yeah, dude, let's do this. This is awesome." So here's Madonna's "Like a Virgin" as reinterpreted by Motley Crue. So here, yeah.
Yeah, get ready for this.
Could you imagine being Tommy Lee and Nikki Sixx is like, "Yo, I got an idea for this record. It's this." What
I mean,
do you
I
think?
Guess why not?
At least one of those words in that sentence.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Yes.
No.
If you've never heard the Madonna version, this works.
Right.
This is actually pretty cool.
Maybe,
if you've never heard Madonna's version, this is actually kind of cool.
And that's the thing. Like, if you picked a weird, obscure Madonna song and didn't tell us, I think it would be like, oh, cool Crue song. Like, if this came out in the 80s, like, you wouldn't know it's Madonna, but it's such an iconic song, it's so hard to get past that.
That's what I'm saying. If you'd never heard the Madonna version, you'd be like, you know, this is kind of like typo negative meets I don't know what. It's got a really hooky vocal.
Yeah, wait till the chorus.
It's funny that you say typo negative, and Rev probably not a fan of the chorus. The chorus does kind of remind me a little bit of typo because they slow it down. They do double time.
Yeah.
Or, you know, halftime, I'm sorry. But, I mean, this is better than 90% of Theater of Pain. And they also thought it was ironic that Vince is singing like a virgin when he's far from a virgin.
Oh, God, yeah.
If you read his book, he bangs everybody, including, like, their girlfriends, their manager's girlfriend, everybody.
Jeez.
But here's the best part, is the YouTube comments.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I swear to God, if you've never heard the Madonna song, I mean, I would go, this is kind of cheesy. I'm not into this, but I'm not a Crue fan, right?
Yeah.
This is 80s hair metal.
Yeah, which I never connected with.
It's better than any Enough's Enough song.
Wow.
Actually, I'll give you that.
Wow.
Fly High, Michelle, away from me forever.
Yes.
Wow.
All right, so here's one.
I love Neon.
As writes, I'm very excited to see this movie, and I love all their albums, but I never want to hear this ever again. Next one from Darlene. I was embarrassed for the Crue just listening to this. Wow, just wow in all caps.
Wow, just wow.
Another person writes, okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
This happened. Let's all have a few shots of whiskey and pretend it never happened.
This is music.
I like
question
this one.
Mark.
Very subtle in what they've said. Have you lost your damn minds? Another person says, Helter Skelter will always be Motley's greatest cover. I 100% agree. Their version of Helter Skelter is badass. Another person says, heartbroken to see that the band is clearly back on heroin.
Aww.
Yeah! All right.
One more. What an abomination. I can't wait for Metallica to cover All Out of Love by Air Supply.
Oh, hey. I'm in for that one.
Oh, and I didn't know this. I guess we could do research, but that takes too much effort to go on Google.
A lot of work.
Someone says, did John 5 play guitar on the album of these greatest hit songs or any of these songs? Because this is definitely not Mick Mars playing on this song. That'd be interesting.
I wonder
why
he thinks that. Is it because of Mick's health? Or?
Yeah, because Mick's got that fusing of the spine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even know that John 5 was
Mick
doing stuff.
Did Mick Mars get Lita Ford in her prime?
Did he?
I'm pretty sure he did. Yeah, anyone want to Google that? I've always respected him for that.
Because I think the guy passed away around 83 or so.
Who's that?
Mick Mars.
No, Mick Mars is still alive.
No, 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 dude. That's not a human.
Conspiracy theory.
He's gone. That's a shell. But I think that shell actually got, it's like, it runs on like tobacco and heroin. And I think he got Lita Ford in her prime, man.
Wow.
Yeah. Can we verify, Rev?
I care more about that than if John 5 covered
yeah,
that.
Is John it like a Google search listed.
Like
John
men who have been in Lita?
I believe there's a website. Yep. Meninlita.com.
Meninlita.org.
.org.
It yes. is our organization.
I used to rough up the suspect.
Lita Ford and Nikki Six pictures.
Oh, it was Nikki Six. Oh,
maybe it wasn't Mick. They made Mick stand in the corner and watch.
Yeah, basically, yeah, when I just put, yeah.
Yo, Frankenstein, watch this. She's like,
why is that guy in the corner? Well, his spine, he can't get up, so we're just going to have sex with him here. It's going to take more effort for us to get him out of this
wafting,
room.
Wafting, wafting.
Poor Mick.
Yeah, not fine. Yeah, any sort of maybe correspondence is Lita and Nikki, but not necessarily like.
See, I always loved him for that. I was Internet like, go rumors. Mick. The yeah. quiet guy in the background with the bad hair.
The old
hair.
Guy. The old guy, yeah. as they always call him.
Yeah, the yeah. old guy. He was like 26 when the rest of them were 19. Right. The old guy.
He's the old
guy. I mean, not to be a total D, but he looks kind of like an Egyptian historical like
yeah.
exhibit.
No, dude, that's why I'm convinced his body passed away in 81 or 82.
Well, that was why they got back together after they broke up for a while. They said, we need to get back together because Mick is going to die if we don't give him something to do, because he was just kind of rotting away doing nothing and doing pain pills. And
Emotep.
Right. So the, so the band's like, we need to do something for him. Otherwise, he's just going to.
Mick-o-tep.
Mick-o-tep.
So check out. Yes. They did put out a song called The Dirt, which is perfect because that's the name of the movie. And it features Machine Gun Kelly rapping on it, which I thought was going to be a terrible idea, but it actually works.
Like a really bad idea.
And Machine Gun Kelly plays Tommy Lee in the movie, which is kind of funny. But he's a yak, so I know people are like, oh, that's messed up. A rapper is going to be playing him. But he was in that Cameron Crowe HBO series about the roadies.
Yeah.
I think it was called Roadies.
Yeah. It was called Roadies.
Yeah, and he was great in it, and I'm not even a fan of Machine Gun Kelly. But so here's the song called The Dirt, which is a new song by Motley Crue.
They're loving the samples and processing these days.
Right? It's just Motley Crue right here. Singing about drugs and rock and roll.
Vince needs to be singing about keto, dude.
About what?
Keto.
I need the macros, the micros. I had a celery. Give me a carrot stick. I'm looking like John Lovitz.
Yeah, he's a hard rock John Lovitz, dude. He's the John Lovitz of metal.
Aww.
Give me the dirt. He needs protein powder and fiber powder.
Yeah, that stuff is
Tempa.
Dirt.
Tempa tastes like dirt. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Ooh, sorry, Rev.
Potty mouth.
Yeah.
Never resonated with me, but
yeah,
I love the high energy. Like, but
I recommend people watch the video. The video makes the song better because it's obviously talking about their career as a band, and like, you know, they're a band of brothers or a Motley Crue, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And then showing footage of them over the years rocking out. And it's, as a Motley Crue fan, it's kind of like this cool montage of the band. And then they also edit in clips of the people playing them in the movie, which is kind of fun.
And there's
did John Lovitz play Vince Neil?
Yes.
Oh, God, I can't wait to see this. I can't wait to see this, man.
And here's Machine Gun Kelly.
Is that Machine Gun Kelly?
Yep. Blood, more pain, more bread, more fast, more cheese, cocaine, more pretty strippers with the big red lips, making big tips, showing up the nice big ha! Big boobies.
Yeah, that's like the hard rock version of that guy from the B-52s.
Tin roof.
Yeah, I'm going to show up and talk. What do you do? I talk.
Oh, so you're one of the singers. No, 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 no.
I
talk.
Talk.
Is that your Chrysler?
It's as big as a whale.
It's about the same. Let's get him in the band.
Oh, my God.
People will be confused.
Can we get Fred from the B-50? Is it Fred Schneider?
Fred Schneider.
From the B-50? Is he still alive, first
Probably,
of all?
Probably, yeah. Let's
Can we get him to guest on the second Bruiser Brody record for a breakdown like this?
Yes. I'm not sure. I'm sure.
I don't know how people
much.
Would take
but
that.
But it wasn't a rock. It was a rock.
Could you guys cover Rock Lobster? Please. Yeah, can we get Travis? I think Travis would totally do Rock Lobster.
I don't know, man. I think we got to go Love Shack.
Funky
baby.
Little Shack. Cut me a check. What do you do?
Yeah, Schneider's
what
still kicking,
man. What is your
kicking,
role
man.
In the band?
I love it, man.
He's also a hitman for the CIA.
Probably.
What was her name? She did a... She did the thing with Iggy Pop Candy. Kate? Was her name Kate?
Kate?
I always thought Kate she was Pearson. Really fancy. Kate Pearson. Pearson.
Kate Pearson.
I thought Kate Pearson
beautiful.
Was neat.
You're going to have to do the Kate Pearson parts.
Okay. I'll do Kate Pearson.
Let's yeah, get wasted in Vancouver and go karaoke.
Oh, man.
Looking for the love getaway. Which brings me to, like, Iggy Pop. Like, if he jumped off a building, would his skin create, like, a flying squirrel scenario where he could just glide
no,
to safety?
Dude, that his skin is shrink-wrapped to his body.
No, it seems like it's poorly attached.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Like, anytime because...
I think he'd be like a flying squirrel if you chucked him, like, he would
man,
just glide to safety.
The man goes shirtless everywhere, and it just looks like it's just, like... sucked on there.
He's got a weird leg now, too, man.
Does he?
Yeah, dude, when I saw him at Castle and I went and saw that show at the Paramount, and yeah, he's got one leg is almost a full foot shorter than the other.
Iggy Pop's? Iggy Pop's
yeah.
weird leg.
So when he was hobbling around on stage, it was like
wow,
I'd get,
yeah.
For me, I'd get like a corrective shoe. Or,
oh, wow.
Do yeah. I remember when I saw when I saw Weezer back on their first tour, Rivers just got a surgery to like lengthen one of his legs. So he was performing.
Well, did he have a weird leg too?
I guess so.
Like he always walked with one foot on the curb kind of thing?
So Iggy Pop, when he was in junior high school, got, quote unquote, ran over by a big guy, resulting in his right leg being
what?
An inch and a half shorter than his left.
What
bummer.
If Love Shack is about all of this? And
well, that's
Fred Schneider. But no, Fred Schneider ran over Iggy Pop on his big
oh.
Chrysler.
Yeah, it was big as a whale. You think he would have seen it coming.
And tin roof rusted is a euphemism for shortening someone's leg.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're
is that infected?
You.
Hey,
this
man, where'd you get that lotion?
This is how rumors start, guys.
Oh, man, why don't we do some voicemails and emails and some text messages? Looking forward to the dirt out this Friday on Netflix.
Is it bad that, honestly, spiritually, I was more fulfilled by that 15 seconds of Love Shack than I was by either of the Motley Crue songs?
We can fix that.
Love
again.
Shack is like a superior piece of material by comparison.
Yeah. The Love Shack. I got me a Chrysler. It suits about 20, so hurry up and bring your jukebox money.
Millennials are like, what's a jukebox? What's a whale?
Oh, you mean touch tunes?
What's a Chrysler?
This is so dated.
Get in your Tesla and bring your iPod. We're about to ask our parents for money.
Oh, wait.
What's a job?
Ha, ha, ha. Love, baby. That's where it's at.
Case all like, what? Pregnant.
Stay away, fool.
What was the recording process like for this one? All right, now
lots
we need
of hat.
It has to be.
I think the video was the recording process.
Like all the weird yelling and calling response stuff.
Yeah.
Like what?
No, yeah. I think they just had a rave and they decided to record it.
After I say, "Stay away, fools," you go woo.
You meet that guy and he's like super subdued. Hey man, how you doing?
I bet you're right.
How you doing?
Yeah, he uses all of his energy when he's on stage and he's got zero
way laid back, like a karate expert, super quiet, like please don't touch me. If you invade my personal space, I'll break your arm.
He turns into Mick Mars when not on stage.
Yeah, actually, as it turns out, he is Mick Mars
without a wig.
The two sides.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. When Mick flips his hair all forward, the back of Mick's head is like
Fred
Schneider.
Like, two sides.
Like Voldemort.
Wow. I think we figured it out, guys. Mystery solved.
There we go. He just flips his shoes around, you know? Everybody's moving and I'm
Folks lining up outside just to get down. I don't remember all the words. Funky little shack. Funky little shack.
Yeah, I could do karaoke on this one.
Yeah, but honestly, this is more like I'm kind of bouncing. This is fun.
It's like Len.
It's so much more engaging than the Motley Crue stuff.
This is like my sunshine.
This is Len before Len.
The Motley Crue stuff is like Splenda.
Yeah.
When I want like cream and sugar.
Yeah. With extra hazelnut.
Oh, yeah.
We're getting hazelnutty.
A shot of whiskey.
Hazelnutty.
Oh, here we go.
It's about 20, so come on and bring your jukebox money.
Imagine being the engineer during the recording of this song. Like, what the hell? I worked with Santana.
And now I got this guy.
And now I'm dealing with this guy barking about jukeboxes.
He's got maracas shoved in his balloon knot, and he's out there wailing about jukeboxes.
Wow.
And just when you think it's crazy, then this happens. The breakdown.
Oh, here it goes.
Here we go. Let's break it down, people.
Deep voice now.
Got to build up that antissa.
Oh, there's people clapping in the background.
Patient.
People got the clap at the show.
Right?
Fred gave him the clap.
Oh, dear.
I'm wondering how many MixCast fans want to find me and choke me for asking for more of this.
No, I'm cool with it. I like it.
I was already in a good mood, but I'm in a gooder mood now.
Gooder.
I needed to rinse off the Motley Crue with something.
When all else fails, Love Shack.
This is like a shot of grappa after you eat something you don't like.
We're listening to this on the party bus with Lion Pride.
Oh, geez.
When we go to Vancouver.
Building up that anticipation.
Is this the song where she yells,
oh, yeah.
What?
It's coming.
Yep.
Tin roof, rusted. Again, the engineer. You're saying what?
He's probably sitting there like, this is so fun.
So then the engineer goes home.
Take notes, John Lovitz.
And his significant other, whether it be a male or a female, goes, hey, babe, how was your day? I don't even know.
You won't believe.
Let me just play this for you.
Yeah.
I'm working with this band called the B-52s. Oh, B-52s, like the bomber. Are they really heavy? Well,
let me play this for you.
It's something different.
You know who the new B-52s is? Because I've seen them a couple times live. It's Fitz and the Tantrums.
Fitz and the Tantrums are great.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you heard them?
Are they a bunch of children? Or?
No. No. I see what you did there.
See, I love that you get my humor, man.
No, but it's that party atmosphere, that party vibe. Like, it's like when you're going to a show, it's not people playing instruments. It's people... who happen to be playing instruments while they're throwing a party.
Okay.
So
this is the song that first got me introduced to them. It was like they were performing.
I'm picturing like screaming children and broken parents.
Imagine this. I'm at work back at the old station. This is back when their first record came out. And they were one of those bands that would come in during the middle of the day and do an acoustic set to like, you know, play for a radio station. And they've got like full on like two singers, like tambourines and horns. And I'm walking by. I'm like, what am I walking in on? And it was like a party. And it was just them practicing before people watched.
This is Fitz and Tantrums?
Yep, Fitz and the Tantrums. And this is the song that, this was their first, like, I guess, big hit. Not big hit, but this one got people talking about them.
Yeah.
And I really dig this song still.
It's kind of very Cage the Heffalump, I'm feeling. Oh, this is like a sunny day walking down the street.
Yes!
Pretty grabber.
I'm going to the bank. They approve my personal loan. I'm going to have a great day.
I know, they were like, I ended up just going because I snagged tickets.
This is like their big hit.
Yeah. I can make your cat pants.
Or hand clap.
See, I want to put out a record called like Nausea and Shakes, and it's like music that feels like the day after you've done a lot of drugs.
Somebody save your soul, cause you've been sinning in the city. I know too many troubles, all these lovers got you losing control.
My mortgage broker gave you really good news. I'm walking to the ice cream shop, Stone Cold Creamery. I'm gonna go crazy.
Real estate rock.
Got some really good news.
I can make your cans pants.
The mole was benign. The mole was benign.
Oh, never mind.
I still stay out of the sun, but I'm having a super good day now.
And here's another one of their big hits, too.
Yeah.
I don't know any of this music.
It's fun.
I can't walk quickly. No wonder. I need this so I can walk happy like down
Pick
the street.
Up your pace. Yeah. I think they're called Retro Soul Shakers.
All right. I don't know what that means, but
me neither.
Sure. We are all over the place with this podcast, just musically.
Yeah.
Honestly, this would be really fun music for like a chainsaw murder in slow motion.
You know what?
That or like a Virgin by Motley Crue.
Oh, dear.
This feels like it would be like an 80s rom-com.
Yeah.
What's a rom-com?
Romantic comedy.
You know, When Harry Met Sally, other stuff.
I'm familiar with. Sleepless in Seattle.
Maybe.
Yeah. What the hell? The one with John Cusack.
Better Off Dead?
No, but that's a good one.
That's a fine film.
High Fidelity?
High Fidelity is a great movie.
The one with the stereo at the end.
Gross Point Blank?
Yeah, you're thinking of High Fidelity, but this song doesn't belong in High Fidelity.
No.
Oh, that's Say Anything, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, Say Anything.
I can see that in this.
All right. Let's
do our voicemails, emails, and text messages.
It's one of these
and text.
Yeah.
I'll be upset with you if you didn't name your kid your hands. Siggy, what did you name your child? What did you name your child?
Heartbroken to see that the band is clearly back on heroin. Awful. Just awful.
Awfully wonderful.
Oh, Meg, what's your thoughts on the new Motley Crue song?
Well, silly enough.
Flashback humor.
Yeah, I haven't heard them yet.
Yeah,
maybe next week we'll talk about
it. We'll see how that goes.
But we like the B-52s.
I love your musical taste, Glenn.
What's a jukebox?
And what is a tin roof?
Get in your Uber and check out your touch tunes.
Oh, man. Okay, next text, 253-271-4787 is our text line, or you can leave us a voicemail on that line as well. Radio.com, know your format. A commercial for the Kicking Back with Kelly talking about reality stars isn't really for a mixed cast audience.
Lol.
Or maybe I'm weird.
Oh, do they just insert ads or something?
They do sometimes. That threw me off one time. I was like, listen.
What?
Like right in the middle or something?
So you'll pull up like the Mixcast podcast and they'll...
We have advertisers?
Yes. Well, we don't.
My wallet says differently.
Yeah, that's what's curious. Like, really? There's revenue?
Or somebody?
All right, I'm going to pull up a past Mixcast and maybe a little commercial play, maybe not. It's very
It's like for
random.
Herpes cream or something.
Right.
See, that would be a little
that
bit
would
more
be on
brand.
Yeah. Depends. Adult diapers for when you have a need for
your
need.
We have 5 stars on our 5-star rating.
Really?
Man, I never even think about telling people to go and rate our podcast. But
great. Share, subscribe.
Right. Way to go. Now they know about it. The stars will drop.
That's a good point. We have 68 ratings and 5 stars. Please keep that going.
They punished me with the B-52s today.
And leave nice reviews. That would be pretty awesome. I love this one review it just shows right off the bat. Bring us some dicks.
Obviously, they're back on heroin.
That's cool. They were a fan back in the day when we original incarnation of the Mixcast or the STP cast. But as good as it was, I would put the current lineup on another level. The addition of Glenn has made this one of my all-time favorite podcasts.
Thank you.
Signed, Glenn Cannon. That's
from, It was from Roger Conway Cannon.
That's pretty awesome.
No relation.
We should have people write weird reviews.
Yes.
like how we saved their lives. Or like how...
Meemaw's dementia went away after just 2 episodes.
Right. I had gonorrhea, and then I listened to the Mixcast, and it went away. Like, just make them so absurd. And we'll read them, and if we find favorite ones, we'll put them...
How do we get 5 stars, man?
Well, people like us, Rad. That's a nice thing.
I mean, yes. Thank you, but...
Thank you.
We do have a 1-star one. I'm not going to go there, because I don't want to deal with the insecurity of reading.
There you go.
Is there a 1-star rating?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's someone who... I think we've read it before, actually.
Glenn.
No, it's probably the old school one.
Yeah, we read it a long time ago. I'm not even going to go down that road, but for my own sanity. But yeah, leave us reviews of how we've cleared up like your syphilis and like maybe saved your marriage.
Glenn helped me bury a dead prostitute.
Yes!
Solid guy.
Signed, former Seahawk.
Wow.
Dude, that would be awesome. If the more absurd the review, the better. But of course, leave us 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I've never really thought to tell people to do that for us, but that'd be pretty cool. And leave nice ones for BJ and Migs. I made the mistake once of going on there, and that was a beatdown.
Really?
I mean, we have a lot of five-star reviews, but some of the reviews about the show are obviously people who are upset when changes were made. And they just crap on him, crap on me. The show sucked, blah, blah, blah. I was like, why am I going? Why am I reading this?
Yeah.
Like, there's no good at coming of this, so don't.
No good at coming.
So when everyone's telling me, like, you need to see Passion of the Christ, I'm like, I don't want to watch a snuff film, man. I know the story. I know how it ends. It doesn't sound like something good.
Yeah.
All right, you got to see this. No, I really don't.
I'm going to play the most recent episode and see if a commercial comes on.
Okay.
So here we go. Let's see what happens.
Is this last week when I'm like, basically can't swallow and I'm about to lose consciousness?
I'm Kelly Dillon and fashion is my life. Join me on Kicking Back with Kelly as we meet with the hottest celebrities, reality TV stars, and fashion influencers.
Dying over it. Kicking Back with
Kelly. I'm going to find you and make love to your mouth, Kelly.
Fashion fortune.
This is you're going to insert yourself in our show. I'm going to insert myself in you.
This would sound so much better if Kelly was maybe under the influence.
I'm Kelly Dillon, and fashion is
much better.
My life.
She sounds cooler
Join
drunk.
Me Kicking Back with Kelly as we meet with the hottest celebrities, reality.
So this happened during one of our shows?
This is the first thing you hear when you listen to the new episode.
When did that start?
Well, it'll go away, though. Like, sometimes it'll be there, and sometimes it won't.
So I've just never heard one before.
I think it's,
you know?
I have no idea.
I haven't been able to listen to our show in a long time.
She's a fashion blogger, so there you go.
Oh, cool.
Let's hear how we sounded.
Congrats on your blog, Kelly.
Yeah. Let's see how we sounded when we were drunk last week.
Send him back with a doorstop butt plug.
Wow. Hey, Josh.
Just drop in.
How you doing,
Would you
buddy?
Randomly drop in right there?
Yes.
God, what are the odds? Steve has brilliance even in his damn thumb.
My thumb is the most talented part of my body.
Dude, do that again, man.
Like that one.
All right, let's pick a random spot.
Well, no, the same spot, please.
Okay.
It's really
good. Right, I'll jump it back again.
I was standing on my head.
Like, I'm just trying to think of the logistics, but now that you said standing on your head, I'm like, okay.
She puts it in, stands on her head, then Amar does bong rips out of me. He also...
You have to be a gymnast in order to enjoy this
A bomb. Friend of ours was at his house in Portland the other night, and he sent him back with a doorstop butt plug.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
That one now.
We're going to take some pretty interesting pictures.
And I also got her a glow in the dark rosary one.
Oh my God. Steve.
Oh my God.
Whoa. Hey, speaking of the Play Party podcast, we got a really nice email.
Cool.
About those guys. I thought this was kind of made my day when I read it from Caitlin. Subject: Play Party thanks. Guys, I can't put into words how thankful I am for your podcast. I've been dealing with some self-loathing, feeling different, just beating myself up. You had Josh and Haven from the Play Party, and I just have to say, when your favorite podcast tackles something like BDSM and other quote-unquote kink stuff and does it in a way where it's not being mocked and treated with respect, well, it warmed my heart. It just felt good knowing that I don't need to be so hard on myself for being different. I don't want to go into details, but just so you know, you guys help by being so open-minded and not being dicks. Can you say dicks? LOL. Yeah, I guess we got
You've come to the right podcast.
About the burgers. Yeah. Hey, Wyatt, where's my burger?
Yeah Wyatt. please let your friends know that they have a new listener and me, Migscast fan for life from Caitlin.
That's awesome.
Had a few people message me saying that they became a fan of the Play Party podcast because of us. I never thought about it, but I was like, even like when I had them on, I'm like, oh, how are people going to take this?
I'm anxious to check it out. I just haven't had a chance,
it's
man.
Very cool. Yeah. And I'm like I've said, that's not my world, but I'm always curious about what makes other people tick. And
swing by my house sometime, dude.
Hey.
Oh, I like how you said
see
that.
See what you did there.
I'll see you right before the Vancouver shows.
Oh, my.
But I think it's good to normalize anything that is obviously not worth putting a stigma on. And BDSM and kink mentality, there's nothing wrong with what anyone's doing.
Whatever makes you happy, as long as you're not hurting somebody else.
Yep.
Man, well, and that's
non-consensual.
I wasn't trying to make a joke there. Like, as long as you're not interfering with someone else's liberty, whatever
you
makes you happy should be celebrated and upheld. And that's awesome. It's just nothing but
just
awesome.
Just made me happy to know that people really enjoyed that podcast. And even
killer.
Josh and Haven were like, that was fun. Like, we were really nervous, and you know, because it's such a unique format or a unique, subject to talk about. And you don't know what you're walking in on, especially when they walked in and it was us and a bunch of people and Caesar.
And Caesar.
Sorry, Caesar.
Don't be sorry.
I was happy to see you.
I'm going
to
get a message about that later.
Oh, but it was awesome. I saw a lot of people posting on, or a couple people posted on their page saying, hey, I just discovered you because of the Migs cast and I've been binging your episode. So awesome, dude. And that's awesome that our listeners were.
Yeah, that's great, man.
And geez, Caitlin, I never think about that, but we talked about it even during that episode. When you realize you're not alone,
you're not alone, hon.
How much better do you feel about things?
Trust me, you're not alone.
Or when you have your people that you're maybe respect, and of course, we're very highly respected.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Well, the whole first sentence was I've been dealing with self-loathing and insecurity and doubt. And I'm like, boy, did you come to the right show, right? You
know? We are your people.
Yeah, we're your people.
I mean, that's what we were going to call the show, but we decided to stick with Migscast.
Yes.
Yeah. I suggested self-loathing. Steve slapped me, which made me upset. And then
they were like, we're calling it Migscast.
Ignored my idea.
Brother.
Sorry.
Let's check out a voicemail. That's awesome.
There's a guy that sits behind me at work, and every day, no matter what, no fail, the guy crunches on ice chips every afternoon. I don't know if he comes back and he's, I've got to chill my teeth. I don't know what he's doing.
Chill my teeth.
Put my headphones on. I can still hear the crunch of the ice. I can still hear it. It's terrible.
Hmm.
I have no idea what to do, and I don't know who does that. This is a grown man who crunches ice all afternoon. It's
maybe
terrible.
He's pregnant.
Dude, you could.
Maybe he's got warm teeth.
Throw a road flare in his cup, turn the ice to water, problem solved.
Warm teeth.
He comes back in 2 weeks. He'll come back in 2 weeks. There's a guy that's behind me and swishes water through my lunch break every day. I eliminated the ice. I created water.
It will always be something, I imagine, at that point.
I'm sorry about the cruncher, dude. Why don't you move away from it?
Sounds like my wife talking about how I eat. So you're a loud eater. I'm like, I'm eating with my mouth closed. I don't know what else to do.
I'm taking this intravenously, hon. There's a slurping.
I'm not going. I'm just eating.
Well, you're a soup slurper, aren't you?
No, I don't think I am.
Oh, okay.
BJ's a slurper.
That's right. BJ's the slurper.
Sometimes people get in my car and they're eating, which is fine.
Oh, when you're doing Uber stuff?
Oh, you're cool with that?
I'm cool with them eating. Sometimes they're messy, which irritates me, but what really makes my skin, and I mean crawl, is lip smackers.
Oh.
Oh, my God. It makes my skin. The other one, sometimes people chew gum and they...
Yeah.
It makes my skin crawl. It makes me want to start swinging.
Man,
it makes
now I know your kryptonite. Nuts. This is great.
That'll hurt your five-star.
You don't, because I'll just be like, bro, I'm out, and I'll leave the room. I cannot hang
that's
with
like,
it, dude.
That's like the PLP in styrofoam. My best friend Brogan, he can't stand it if you touch or rub styrofoam.
Oh, does that,
so, the coolers.
Sound?
Yeah, that. Hmm. It squicks them out so bad. And it's like, oh, now I know. Thank
now
you.
I know. Yeah.
The only sound that annoys me is when someone's eating with a metal utensil.
Oh, and they scrape.
No, they scrape it.
Oh.
Ugh. It's like, dude, you don't need to scrape. How bad are you at eating that you can't get the food off that fork without scraping your teeth on it?
You've got lips. They're softer and they do the same job.
Each bite of that steak bite that you're putting in your mouth, I'm like, you suck. Stop it.
And then at 47 Savage. Years old, they'll have no teeth.
Right.
I don't know what happened. My teeth are ground down.
Because you're eating forks, you idiot. All right, let's check out another voicemail again. 253-271-4787 is the way to leave us a voicemail.
What's up, fellas? It's the Jester. Long time no talk.
I
want to say it's been almost a year since I called in, but...
It's been a long year.
Things have been a little weird around the old Just household, but I just wanted to say, still trying to keep up with you guys. Work's been a little crazy and haven't really been in the best place, but just want to remind you guys, I love y'all. I miss the hell out of all of you. Glenn, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thanks,
Rev, man, I try to keep up with you on Facebook and what be it, but...
he's the man of the town.
Just, some of your posts, it just makes me smile. And,
nice.
And and Steve.
I hate you.
Watching everything you're doing with this one, man. I'm living vicariously through you.
Oh, man, thank you.
That's so rad.
Love you guys, man. Just trying to stay in a good spot. Been living underneath the hood of my car, and really that's kind of my happy place. And
I can relate to that, dude.
Recently tried to make myself a little bit better and start going to church and see if... that might help, but slowly getting better. Hopefully I'll get to see you guys soon. But
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
miss you guys. Love you. Thank you, Travis Brock, for one of the most amazing renditions of Hallelujah.
Oh, that's killer.
And hopefully see you guys soon. Love you again. Bye.
Much love, brother.
Yeah, I can tell something's going on in your world, and I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, and we love you. And really, the best way to handle whatever you're dealing with might not be going under the hood of your car, but it's to listen to the B-52s.
You need to feel better about things.
He's currently working on a Chrysler, so you made a joke without knowing.
That's a good point.
As a whale.
Yeah, it's nice and roomy under the hood, so you can get in there and sit, you know?
Dude, Travis and I are going back and forth. Speaking of Travis, I just posted a picture on my Instagram. I don't know if you've seen it yet. The picture of me and Andy Samberg back when Hot Rod, the movie, came out. Andy and the Lonely Island guys came to the station, and we did an interview and took a picture. And today we were talking about MySpace and how they lost a bunch of pictures. So I found out how to get back into my old MySpace account, and I was like, oh my gosh, my pictures are still there. I should grab the ones that I like. God forbid these pictures go missing or whatever. I haven't been on that account for like 4 or 5 years maybe. And I found a picture of me with Andy Samberg, and it's me 80 pounds heavier. And we're both making very weird faces, so it's so unflattering. And I'm like, I got to put this on Instagram.
It probably made you feel good, though. You looked at yourself and went, man, I've really... Whoa.
Yeah. There's another picture. I haven't posted it yet, but I got to show this to my wife.
Well done, dude. That's going to make you really happy, man. It does, dude.
Check out this picture. It's from...
I'm sorry if my response made you feel really bad.
I mean, you could tell, like, there's a lot of weight under that shirt.
Yeah, man. Wow, dude.
It's nuts. I mean, that was me at 285, and I'm at, so I'm at 202
right now. You were at 285?
280, 285-ish, yeah.
Man.
That was,
how tall are you?
6'3".
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was me at my heaviest.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm thinking about it, because my heaviest was 260, and I'm 6'4".
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Well,
and so... I feel like a dump.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I've lost a bunch of weight and I still feel like a dump.
Have you listened to the B-52s lately? It'll make you feel better.
I'm a Chrysler.
Yeah.
I'm as big as a whale.
Come on, bring your Bitcoin.
I'm at Rock Lobster. So I post the picture and Travis starts, he's like, Hot Rod is one of the greatest, most quotable movies ever made, period.
Straight up, yes.
So then we're going back and forth. I'm like, I like to party. And then he's like, you know, he's quoting other parts.
You don't like to party.
Yeah, so it's like, he writes, Kevin, I know for a fact that you don't party.
Yeah.
And then we just keep going back and forth about some of the silly lines from Hot Rod. I'm like, I feel like there might be a late night Hot Rod viewing party
in Vancouver. Yeah.
Where after several drinks, we're like, let's watch Hot Rod again. Like, Rouse is going to hate all of us.
He might be like, I love that film.
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
It's one of my favorite movies. It's such an underrated film, but it's so fun. It's quirky. It's a sweet movie, and Isla Fisher is adorable.
But people hated on us because we watched the movie. And then we went on the air talking about how awesome we thought the movie was.
And people were like, die.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No, yeah. You
people
joke,
have too much time.
Yeah.
Too much energy to invest in all this hatred, right?
You would think so.
Oh,
just
here we go.
Take it out on Motley Crue.
Yeah, and like a virgin and all that.
They don't care. They're busy counting their piles of money and their nine lives. Where are you at? Life number 7. Like, we're good.
Sleep last night. Just having those dreams again. You know how it's just me in a castle. I got to fight like 1,000 wizards. The only way to beat them.
Danny McBride.
Punch them as hard as I can in their faces. And then when I'm done, all their little wizard wives came out, wanted me just to have sex with them. Which is kind of weird. Hey, look at this, huh?
Hey, everybody. We got some awesome news. We have a new crew member today, Denise.
Hi, everyone.
So I thought it'd be fun if we all went around and said our name and a little something about ourselves.
Oh, this is a great
thing. I'll start. My name is Rod, and I like to party. All right, Dave, you're up.
Hi. My name is Dave. And
that's Bill Hader, isn't it?
Yep. Like to party.
No, Dave, I just said that I party, so maybe do something different for me.
My name is Dave, and I am the stuntman.
You know what? Let's move on. Rico, you're up.
Hello, I'm Rico, and I like to party.
Yeah, Rico, what did I just say to Dave?
Who?
Dave.
I like to party. I'm Rod.
No, you're Kevin.
Right, Kevin. I party.
No, you don't. Okay, nobody parties but me.
Yes. And we party.
No.
Yeah, just Rod.
Yes.
And me.
No, I'm the only one who parties.
I'm pretty sure I've partied before.
No, Kevin, I know for a fact you don't party. You do not party.
You're right. Dave's the party guy.
Sweet.
Sweet.
I forgot the hater acid scene.
Oh!
It's one of the greatest scenes in the movie. You remember that?
I've never seen Hot Rod.
Oh! All right.
Do we know if our Airbnb has a DVD player?
I'm sure it does.
If it doesn't, I bet it has Netflix. Typically, they do.
It'd be great if it didn't have any of those things.
Oh, man.
But it had a small stage, and people came out and did a play for us. And they were, like, visibly miserable. But visibly miserable and afraid. You know, like, can you guys come out and act out Hot Rod? And they're like, yes.
Travis and I will reenact it for you. I don't know.
Is that too weird?
Is it on Netflix?
I can find it.
Okay. I'll find it.
If you got a Star subscription.
It's on PutLocker.
Or if it's on YouTube for two bucks.
I'll buy it if I have to. If we have a smart TV at our Airbnb, we'll definitely do that.
Dude, it's
our
so
TV
worth
will
it.
Be learning disabled.
Yes. I think I have it still on it's one of the few DVDs I've kept.
It looks like it's on Hulu.
Okay.
I'm set. I've got Hulu.
Then there you go. Okay. Yeah. At least it shows it right here on the internet. So
let's look at our amenities for our place that we're staying at.
Learning disabled TV. Live play actors.
Man, I'm going to go home and I'm going to put on Hot Rod. Just watch that again.
Right?
All right, let's see.
Our Airbnb. I always love to see what the amenities are. Couch that's not stained, I hope.
Oh, geez. Yeah,
you don't have like a fleshlight with the word Hot Rod written on the side of it, do you?
I do not.
Like, I'm going to go home and I'm going to put on Hot Rod. It's going to be awesome. I think
I might now, though. Thanks for the idea, Glenn.
Yeah, I'm hooking you up, dude. Put some flames on that baby. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Show listing. It's a nice little 3-bedroom, holds 7 people, which is perfect.
Nice.
She's a super host. Good call. That's nice. It's super clean, too.
It looks like a nice place.
Yeah, it actually does look really cool. Yeah.
See, I'm afraid of Airbnbs because
it's got Wi-Fi.
Nice. I just imagine that it's a creepy person who has cameras, like nanny cams, set up everywhere. And even though I'm not going to do anything but sleep there, they're going to record me and then put that on YouTube. And that's like, I would rather just go to a hotel room.
It's like a new Warhol film. It's like 12 hours of Rev sleeping.
I just don't trust it. Like, it's the, like, there's no reason why they would ever do this sort of thing, but I know they're going to.
Dude, I've got cameras in your house now.
Man, now I got to do an electromagnetic sweep. I've got to sage the house again.
Yeah, you do have to sage the house right away, too.
Well, yeah.
It's best.
One thing I'm happy about, it's got a washer and dryer.
That is super
easy. Oh,
especially when you get all sweaty playing shows. I only have 2 pairs of black jeans, so I'm going to have to invest in a third.
It's just that one set of drawers.
Yeah, exactly. So now I'm good. I can still look like myself.
Nice.
With clean pants Saturday. It's very important.
Love it.
Migs, when are you wrestling again? You in Tacoma soon? Not wrestling, but maybe I will. You never know what's going to happen on Sunday when the local celebrity shows up to Everett. This Sunday at the Normana Lodge. It starts at 4 o'clock. If you have kids under 10, they get them free. Just look up Without a Cause on Facebook. You get all that information. It's going to be a really good show. Lots of great wrestlers are going to be there, and I'm looking forward to that. As far as Tacoma, rumor has it something might be happening come July.
Ooh.
So I'm going to be meeting with some of the people today, I think, and some really cool, exciting stuff. If it happens, of course, we'll be the first to let you know on the Migs cast, but just block out all of July.
June and July.
The J months belong to us,
yes,
kids.
Yeah. All of June for Bruiser Brody.
That's
all of July for me wrestling.
Double J,
in Tacoma.
Come and play. Make no plans.
Nice. Speaking of Double J, what is going to happen is it's a wrestling promotion that involves music as well, and I believe Anti-Hero is going to be a part of it.
Nice.
Really?
Love that band.
Yeah, they're
cool.
like, do you have a band from Tacoma that you think would be good to be a part of this event? And I'm like, well, Anti-Hero are a Tacoma band.
And they rip.
And
they're amazing.
Perfect for wrestling.
Yeah, those guys are a sledgehammer. I love that
band. Double J is a big wrestling fan, so he's going to have to wear his Ric Flair robe while playing. I don't know if he knows that, but he listens to the Migscast.
So now he's got to.
He might, though. He'd be like, I'm down. I'll do that.
I'm sure he wouldn't care. I can't see him saying no to that. We got another email. We'll do one more, and then we'll call it a day. I have to go to the dentist.
Oh, congratulations.
That's going to be fun.
Is it just going to be like a little cleaning, a little scraping?
A little
Steve Martin?
Clean. Yeah, a little.
It's going to sink to you?
It's a little. See, I love it.
A little shop of horrors.
It's not my world.
I can't say. Like,
you
it's
didn't
not,
see Hot Rod. I know.
Be it's a not
like, but it's not like it's not like Hot Rod. I'm not saying you need to go see it.
For causing
but it's
waste
a good,
pain.
It's a good movie.
Was that with Venus Flytrap?
Yes.
And Rick Moranis?
Yes.
I've seen it, and it's awesome.
All right, great.
I forgot, though.
Yeah, Steve Martin.
Sometimes my sub-references don't really land.
Oh, you and I are in the same way.
I love that you get me, man.
So Teej from Wisconsin says, I have a buddy in Seattle who's getting married at the end of July. Oh,
We told him to block out all of July.
You have to skip that one, bro.
Shoot. But luckily, though, the wrestling event's probably going to happen in the first week of July, so don't worry about it. As his best man, I have to plan his bachelor party. But as a native Wisconsinite, I have no idea what to do. You guys have similar tastes as us. Do you have any suggestions from Teej from Wisconsin? Yes.
Bring him a cheese wheel.
Two words. Cheese wheel.
Yeah, you want him as constipated as possible, so he's in knifing pain. You know, knifing pain, standing up there trying to get through his vowels. Hey, I love you.
Give him a cheese wheel is what was just said.
Give him a cheese wheel.
That's going to be the episode name.
I'm not even mad.
I mean, those are the two words that are probably more ideal, cheese wheel. But I was thinking Acropolis, Portland.
Oh, yeah.
Acropolis, Portland? Is that where you get, like, steaks and nudity?
Yes.
Steaks and $10 nudity.
But he said he was coming to Seattle. Now you're asking him to drive 3 hours south.
You don't have to drive.
Got
to
do.
You can take the Amtrak and go down, get yourself an Uber, go right to the place.
Get drunk on the train.
Get drunk on the train.
And then party all night, get an Airbnb in Portland.
Oh, we'll make a sequel. Instead of snakes on a train, it'll be like bats on a bus.
Yeah.
what do we do on a train?
Cheese wheels on a train.
I'm tired of these MF and cheese wheels on this MF and train.
Sorry, I'm stuck on the cheese wheels now. Wisconsin, snakes man.
If the train has cheese wheels, it'll derail. It'll be like from The Fugitive.
Speaking of off the rails,
I love this podcast.
I say cheese wheels and I just ruin everything.
I always love it when I can render Steve completely speechless.
I love this podcast. I swear to God. Just when I think I'm having a bad day, you come on this podcast and your day gets better instantly.
Right.
Yeah, I would go to Portland. I mean, $10 for a filet mignon at the Acropolis.
Okay, that's hard to beat.
And it's good.
And
I love my city and I'm proud of it, but Steve's making a solid point. If you want to get him, I mean, boobies and dead cow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Seattle, find a good rock show to go to.
Wiggle it. I'll cut off what I want to write.
But I mean, you can have a great dinner and then great visuals for $10.
Yep.
I mean, that's better than
and
the
no
Met.
Taxes.
And I love the Met.
And your wife will respect your choices.
Yes. You're doing it to help girls get through college.
That's right. Support single mothers.
That's right. All right, I think that's it. So again, Friday at the Parliament.
Yeah, Friday at Parliament in West Seattle. Come out, man. I go on at 9, and I'm going to play a bunch of stuff off the record with Lance. We're going to see if we can pull that off, and it'll hopefully be really cool. If nothing else, it'll be great to see you guys. And there's, you know, Double Cross Committee and Garrett Whitney playing. It's going to be a cool night. Come to Parliament, West Seattle.
And then on Sunday, come join your local celebrity, your Twitter
Sunday,
verified Steve
Sunday,
Miggs
Sunday.
At the Normana Lodge in Everett. It's like a block off from where the Angel of the Winds arena is. So come hang out, see some great local wrestling. There's going to be some real good Darby Allins there. Priscilla Kelly, the woman who used her tampon in that one thing.
Oh, yeah.
She's going to be there. So that's going to be worth the price. Joey Ryan, the Dong Master himself. He's going to be bring your kids.
Yeah.
It's family friendly.
Better not bring your kids.
And don't forget to buy a Miggs t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com. I'm Steve Miggs.
Even the Miggs Stinks one.
Yes, even the Miggs Stinks one. I believe there's over 20 sold so far.
Ooh,
so this is very exciting. Nice. Until next week, we're off.
Are we off next week?
We're on vacation for 2 days. So sorry, kids. We'll be back on Wednesday. I feel like we're off all the time. And hey, get used to it. April's even worse.
But stay positive.
Yeah, stay positive. Listen to an old episode. Listen to a drunk version of an old episode.
Maybe you'll get an ad for a fashion show.
Yeah, and maybe listen. Yeah, you know what? Listen to the reality Kelly.
Hi, I'm Glenn Cannon, and I cut holes in trash bags and wear them in the rain. So today we're going to sell you some wheels of cheese, cheese on a train. With train with cheese wheels wrecked, one-armed man.
I got to go to a wedding for this weekend for someone at my church.
Oh, bro, real quick.
Oh, no, wedding. Here we go. You're
late.
Huh?
The wedding was late.
What?
It's supposed to start, like, let's just say it's supposed to start at 5.
Yeah.
It didn't start till like 6:30. Apparently, they weren't done putting on the hair and the makeup and all that stuff.
Or is that what they told you?
Oh.
Was there a 12-gauge involved? Do we have to go find someone?
Well, they're married now. Stay positive, everybody. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Oh!
What?
I forgot to give some love to Chris. He's got a podcast about local music.
Hi, Chris!
Yeah, what's up? At the end of the show.
Yeah, I know. People probably already skipped to the ending.
I'm going
to
be on it.
Yeah.
That's verified, just like your Twitter account.
Just like that blue check mark I got.
Right, bro.
That's
Hi,
right.
Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys.
Well, good talk.
Oh, yeah, thanks. You're the best. This Week in Seattle podcast.
This Week in Seattle podcast. Is it available?
This Week in Seattle Rock podcast.
This Week in Seattle Rock podcast. When's the premiere episode? Do you know
that? We're shooting for the end of the month.
Right
so
on, man.
Hopefully, it's a new venture, so hopefully we can get it rolling.
And people can find you on Facebook and join the group and be a part of it that way. I know you've got some really cool things and great ideas involved with it. And also, you're just going to shine a light on the local music scene, which is very appreciated.
That's the goal.
Nice.
Get these guys played. Get them heard on things that you just can't normally hear on terrestrial radio.
Nice.
Typically.
Look at you using that fancy word, terrestrial radio.
I'm a podcaster.
E.T. the extraterrestrial.
Oh my
See how
God.
I did? See what I did there?
Until you get a tattoo on parts that get touched. Like when I got my sleeves done, I never realized how many people will grab you by the arm. And
Jesus, let's get out of here. Stay positive for the final time. Oh, wait. I'm just kidding.